Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Beyond the Standard, the monthly online interview program sponsored by Christian Standard. This is Mark Taylor, publisher and editor of Christian Standard, and I'm really looking forward to today's discussion. For you folks who are listening now, and if you've logged in online, let me remind you that you can join our chat line to discuss what you're hearing with other listeners or to post a question we can put before today's guest. Just log on as you're listening, and I'll be monitoring your comments during this podcast. And if you ask something really good, we'll put it out there for Mike to answer. Today we're talking with Mike Baker, who's the senior pastor with Eastview Christian Church in Normal, Illinois, and president of this year's North American Christian Convention, scheduled for June 23 to 26 in Cincinnati. Hello, Mike. Welcome to Beyond the Standard.
How's it going, Mark? Good to see you, or not see you, but talk to you today. It's awesome to hang out with you for a few minutes here today.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate your taking the time. Now, we want to talk about the NACC, but strong convention comes from leadership from strong churches, I know, and I think it would be good to set the stage for you to tell us a little bit about what's going on at Eastview Christian. I know a lot of good things are going on there. How long have you been on staff there quite a while? How long as lead pastor?
Yeah, I became the senior pastor in 2007. I came in 1995 as the youth pastor and actually told the elders in the interview, I don't think I'm going to stay here more than 3 to 5 years because I'm old for youth ministry and I want to go preach somewhere. So as the Lord often does, he had different plans. So we're coming up on 20 years, believe it or not, this December. But been the followed Gary York, who was here for 32 years as the senior pastor. And now we're almost at 8. So it's been a long journey, but a fun one.
Very, very good. And what's going to tell us what's happened there in the last year or two that's exciting you?
Well, you know, I just love the stuff that we're trying to do with our staff. We got a pretty young staff, and one of the things we've really tried to focus on is just to be really, really intentionally spiritual and try to get together and pray together every Monday at 11 as a staff. We do that. The Lord has brought really cool growth into our church community, and honestly, Mark, we just try to keep up with the growth. This is what we joke about all the time. I laugh every time our attendance goes up. I look at everybody and go, "Your job just got harder."
Yeah.
And literally, we try just to figure out how to be good stewards of all the stuff God's given us, and we're having a blast. I'm preaching, which is all I've ever wanted to do since I was 6 years old. I preach almost every Sunday, which is not what, you know, most guys do, but I just love it. It's what God's called me to do, and so I'm surrounded by great leaders and people who are praying for me and supporting me. It's a great church. I like to say about Eastview that I came there when I was 30, just turned 50, and I like to tell them we've grown up together. So that's kind of what we're doing there, having a good time.
So tell us a little bit about the growth. What's that number picture look like in round numbers off the top of your head from these years that you've been senior pastor?
You know, in 2007, when I became the senior pastor, we were somewhere around 3,500 people in our weekend services, and now we're pushing 6,000. So it's been a fun, steady growth. And we always try to say all the time, we try to do things that are just sustainable and organic. So we don't try to do a whole lot of gimmicky stuff to grow. Hopefully it's just our people maturing and bringing people to Christ. And so we've not had any years where it's just been meteoric, but it's been steady for the last 8 years or so. And so we're just trying to keep up with what God's doing there. So it's cool. It's fun.
Yeah. Sometimes the healthiest growth is the steady, slow growth, isn't it?
I think
it's easier
so.
For
I don't,
you
I don't
to accommodate.
Know that we could handle much more. I don't think I could handle much more. So,
well, it's quite a load for a preacher at a church your size to take on the NACC. I'm curious. I think some listeners might be curious to know a little bit, whatever you want to tell us about that process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you've known that you were going to be president of this 2015 NACC for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yeah,
three years?
It sure is. It's kind of a three-year cycle the way it's set up now, Mark. So The current board of stewards, which is made up of former presidents of the North American, dating all the way back as far as 1980s, and some business people and people involved in the Christian Church that are elected by the Continuation Committee, they make up the board of stewards. And so that group every year kind of has a nominating process where they say, okay, who's a Christian Church person who could carry the torch for a year? And so I've known since 2012. The convention in 2012 is when I was affirmed, but a little bit before then I knew that I was going to be the president. So,
well, that's a long slog. Have you?
it felt a lot easier in 2012 than it does right now.
Yeah. Have you reached the point where you're just saying, "I'll be glad when this is over"?
Yeah. You know what? It's. I'm going to be glad and sad both. It's been a really, really fun journey, and obviously, the intensity has picked up over the last 6 months to a year, but it really has been, all things considered, a great privilege and a lot of fun. So,
well, I was thinking about the fact that you went from youth minister to senior minister, and you went from NACC attendee to and probably some other responsibilities along the way to president. And I was thinking about the fact that most guys who are on staff at a church and then walk into the senior minister's office say, something happens to them when they sit down in that chair the first week that it's really their responsibility. You can't really understand what it's like until you have to do it. So I'd like to think about that with regard to the NACC. Is it the same syndrome with becoming the NACC president? What has surprised you as you've taken on this job?
Yeah, you know, anything? I think it's one of those deals. Yeah, there's a couple of things that I think are surprising. Number one is this unspoken expectation that you kind of represent the whole of, you know, we're not a denomination, but the whole of a movement, you know, that you're kind of, you have to set the pace and you have to set the tone for a year for about 6,000 or 7,000 churches. And I think that's pretty weighty in and of itself. And so that's kind of a big responsibility. Now, again, I think that that's not particularly, I'm convinced more and more that that's not the job of the convention president to set the tone for an entire movement. We can talk about that later, but I was, you know, just surprised by that pressure. The other thing that's surprising to me, Mark, and I think this is worth noting, is that relatively few churches financially support this convention yearly, and that was surprising to me because not just the monetary value, but the investment value, the saying, hey, we're into this and we're a part of this. Most churches don't regularly give to this as a part of the movement. So that's surprising to me and been one of the goals that I've kind of had, is try to get as many people stirred up just to donate or give something, because what you invest in is what you deem important. So I've been trying to stir that interest up a little bit too. So
that's a challenging task, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt about it, because obviously every ministry and everything we try to endeavor for the Lord cost money, and everybody's asking for money all the time, and we all need money to do ministry. And so you stand in front of a bunch of preachers and go, hey, think about your church giving some money to the North American. That's just another thing among their list of missionaries and things they're accomplishing at their church and stuff. So yeah, that's been a challenge, but it was surprising to me to think, you know, to consider, and I don't know what the numbers are, maybe you know the numbers better, I've heard everything from 6,000 congregations to 7,000 congregations in our movement, and you know, probably 200 to 300 churches that regularly give financially to that. So it's really a small number when you consider the possibilities throughout the entire movement.
So I thought about talking about the cost of the convention with you. Let's just talk about it now.
Yeah. Okay.
What
good.
Do you tell them? What do you? Why is it? Why should this church of 500? Why should they come up with $1,000 or $100 a month for the NACC? Why? What do you tell them?
Yeah, I think it's because you belong to this kind of fellowship. Some people call it a tribe, and it really is like it's restating maybe in an annual way. in a way that I think is the most tangible expression of unifying our movement. And what I mean by that is, you know, where is the one gathering every year where all the Christian churches and churches of Christ get together to celebrate their heritage and what God has done? I mean, the North American Christian Convention is that place. And so if you want to be a part of this movement, which you are, then you should invest in it because it's important. It's that important. You know, again, Mark, I want to be clear and say the strange thing about me being the spokesperson for the North American is that I am not the guy that says we must save this movement at all costs. But I, at the same time, am a strong proponent of how awesome it is among other denominations and movements within the country. In fact, and this is prejudice because it's my heritage and it's what I grew up in, but the best thing going when it comes to churches, and there's several reasons for that, but I love where I came from. Don't always agree with all the things that I was taught in my particular branch of Christian churches and, you know, methodologies and those kind of things. However, it is the foundation that my faith was built on, and I'm grateful for it. And I think we should celebrate it. We should not be ashamed. And so for those who are involved and benefit from it, I would say even if you're not coming to the North American Christian Convention this year, you should give to it because it continues the heritage and the story that you're a part of. So I think that investment is worthwhile. And I think that if Christian churches or individuals within the Christian church lose touch with their historic past, then sooner or later you'll belong to nothing. You know what I'm saying? You won't have that tribe that you can associate with. So, again, along those lines, I think it's important. And, you know, investment always reveals what's important to you.
Yeah. I'd be pleased for you to tick off your list then of why you think this is quote unquote the best thing going. This I need to write a column for next week, and I'd be glad to just quote you here in that column.
Okay, well, let's see. I don't often have quotable things, but let's see if we can come up with something here. We'll see if you get something out of this. Well, here's the deal. I think first and foremost, every person has to line up somewhere in terms of their spiritual heritage. We all came from something. We all came from some tradition. We all came from some heritage. And one of the phenomenons of the mega church world is that a lot of people are leaving a lot of denominations. It's not a secret. You can read any religious report in America right now and find that denominationally, churches are dwindling. They're losing numbers by scores. I mean, hundreds of Catholic churches are shutting down every year. The major denominations are losing membership. And they're coming to, you know, what sometimes are called non-denominational churches, but more specifically in our tradition, Christian churches and churches of Christ lead in, you know, this kind of mega church movement that's happened, this phenomenon of people going to churches that grow into churches of thousands. So I'm going, if in fact Christianity at large is growing best in this movement, then why not celebrate and be a part of the movement that you came from? You know, I think for many years we were seen as maybe, you know, the stepchild of denominations where we just weren't that sharp or whatever, we weren't that great thinking. But, you know, Mark, I've been to and seen a lot and listened to a lot online, conferences from all over the country and the world, and we have, you know, we have some good stuff going on. Some of the best leaders in the church worldwide are in the Christian church. Some of the best preachers in the church worldwide are in the Christian church. And I've just never been ashamed of my heritage. And I just would like for more people to go, hey, you know what? Let's embrace what God has done here. It's Him. It's His work. It's not because we're right or we've got everything figured out. We certainly don't. But we should celebrate the heritage we come from because it's pretty daggone good when compared to other movements in the world, you know. And so that's one of the reasons I think you should celebrate. Plus, I think if you don't have a tribe to associate with, sooner or later ministry is going to be very, very lonely. And one of the biggest tragedies of ministry and one of the biggest realities is that often we find ourselves like Elijah, you know, in the desert running from Jezebel going, God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who doesn't bow down to Baal. But in reality, there are thousands of people that come every year to this convention who are missionaries and pastors and preachers and teachers and lay leaders and workers, and they are there to be encouraged and to encourage. It's part of the cool thing of the body of Christ. So I would say you should come every year, if nothing else, just to be associated with some people who are like-minded and think like you and come from the same place you do. There's some value in that. I think if you don't do it, you're going to have to try to find some place to land. And frankly, you know, it's hard to come into a tribe or a denomination that you're not a part of. So it's easy. It's just to go, hey, let's go hang out with the people who understand at least our history a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sold, and I think that's quite quotable, actually.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about the convention theme this year. We speak.
Yeah.
Tell me the genesis of that and your vision for that theme. What you wanted to accomplish, and so forth.
Well, you know, it really began with a couple places, Mark, because I really am one of those guys that I do treasure history in general. I like church history and Christian history specifically, but then specifically the history of the Restoration Movement. And one of the first things, and these things kind of happen simultaneously, you know how these creative moments just kind of come. And I was just thinking about one of my favorite phrases from our heritage: we speak where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent, so that we speak where the Bible speaks. And I know there's a lot of debate on, you know, what that means methodologically and all that kind of stuff. And it's even used to divide us sometimes. But the idea of we speak from the Word of God, what the Word of God says. And I like that. I love that we're a Bible-teaching movement. And so we speak where the Bible speaks. I like that. And then I happened to be studying through Acts about that time. And Acts chapter 4, verse 20, which I would consider the theme scripture for this year's convention. I'll be preaching on it on Tuesday night, on the opening night, Tuesday the 23rd of June. But it's basically the story from Acts 4 where Peter and John are told by the religious leaders to speak no longer in the name of Jesus Christ. They forbid them and they beat them and they threaten them. And Peter and John just simply say, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. And that became just kind of one of those, not only do we speak where the Bible speaks because it's the message of God, but we can't help but speak because of the testimony of our lives, what Christ has done for us. And so that just began. I mean, I just started tinkering around with We Speak, and guess what? You start looking through the scriptures, and you just see time after time after time where we're encouraged to speak and where we're called to speak and commanded to speak and where God speaks. And so so it just kind of began going from there, and I think it was the Louisville convention or maybe before then as we met with the 2015 executive committee. So that would have been almost two years ago now, 2.5 years ago. We just really began putting some flesh and blood to this We Speak theme. And then of course, for me, the most important thing, I'm a preacher and everything is driven by preaching from my standpoint. So I quickly came to this We Speak theme and what are the We Speak themes that will be the nightly, you know, and main session teachings from the convention. And I started set up the preaching schedule then, and everything's kind of grown from that. So that's where we started.
That's pretty exciting. And now you've developed a book around this theme. I was so excited to get an advanced copy of that and to read through your book. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about it. One description of the book is that it's a book about evangelism. It's a challenge to Christians to speak up. Is that how you would characterize the book? Am I reading it right there?
Well, yeah, let me answer that in just a minute, but let me back up for just a moment. One of the things that I'm really excited about what we do at Eastview Christian Church, we've done this like 4 years in a row, is that we have a yearly all-church study. We get all of our small groups involved, and we write a book, and we video record some lessons, and we have a small group thing that comes along with it. And so we've done this for 4 years. So it was natural for us just to go, okay, let's do We Speak the book, and let's make this a resource that's available. So this will not only be the, you know, the summer theme of the convention, it will be our fall study at Eastview Christian Church as well. So the book We Speak, yes, let me say it this way. Unfortunately, it's going to be labeled as evangelism, and that's fine because ultimately it is. I'm a little wary of that terminology because evangelism in our culture often has the idea of I'm going to learn 10 scriptures and 5 questions and 4 things to say, and then I'm going to lead someone to Christ at the end of that conversation. And as I look at We Speak, it really, it's more than evangelism. It really is finding, based on these two realities, We Speak is that God has spoken and that he has spoken clearly to us through his son, Jesus Christ. So that's the first part. And then he's entrusted to us this good news message, so we speak. And so the idea, Mark, is even broader than evangelism in its truest sense. Is, you know, that word means to tell the good news, right? So it is that, but it's more day-to-day being and finding what is your voice in this world. I think we all have voices. I was thinking about this today as I was getting ready to talk to you. You know, we talk about being published as authors and being published in periodicals and those kind of things, but literally we live in a culture where everyone is published. You know, because of social media, we're all published millions of times every day. I can tweet something, and I'm in black and white, and it goes, you know, in some cases farther than books that are actually in print. Or I can start a blog, and I can be published whether I have something to say or not. And so my thing is, if in fact Christians have something to say, and I believe we do, and if, in fact, there's a world dialogue going on, then we find how can we speak into that, you know? And so this is really, yes, it is evangelism, and I'm sure it's going to be classified in that. But it really is almost a Christian lifestyle kind of thing going. Every day I walk out, I buy stuff, I go to Starbucks, I hang out with coworkers, I talk to my neighbors. We speak into all of those conversations and the broader cultural conversation we speak into. So it's really an encouragement that everyone has a voice, and where is your voice, and what has God given you to say based on what he's done in your life through Jesus. So
very good, very good. And I like the way you've collaborated with your staff members to put this together. It's certainly not an all about Mike book in any way. Tell us a little bit about that for people who
we get this really, really cool partnership. I feel so blessed with all the staff members I have at Eastview. But there are two guys specifically that kind of drive the teaching with me at Eastview Christian Church in terms of the small group studies. One is our small groups pastor, Jim Props, who's just a detailed guy. He's really good at stimulating small groups. We have, 400 small groups at Eastview. So he's constantly leading those leaders and trying to equip them and supply them. He's really good at going in the small group setting, how can we discuss this? And then JK, who's our spiritual formations pastor, he's also leading the morning Bible study at the North American this year. He's a great spiritual guru, actually my spiritual mentor that I hired to be on staff with me. So if you can do that, that's a good idea. But he brings the academic side to things. And so when we do a video together, I always say, like, I'm preacher and you're professor. And we have this preacher-professor relationship going on. And we teach video stuff from the Word, and that ties in when we speak. And I think we've done something pretty cool with this study. You know, all the books chapters are kind of my preaching from my heart, from the Word. And then the small group studies actually are how God speaks, using Hebrew and Greek words from the Old and New Testament, times that God spoke and how he spoke. So we're actually studying these two things, how we're called to speak as Christians and how God has spoken and how those things overlap. And then there will be a video teaching with that, and then Jim will guide you through with a small group study guide. So it definitely is a team effort, and one of the things that's the reality, you know, I equate sometimes, being the pastor of a mega church is kind of like being the quarterback of a football team. If you don't do well, you get the blame. If you do well, you get the credit. And probably neither one of those are true. somewhere in between, it's a team always. And so the stuff that God's doing at Eastview is not all about me. And so it's really cool to share this book with these guys and celebrate that together with them. So.
And Jay, did you mention this? J.K. wrote devotions that are part of the book also.
Yeah, I didn't mention that. Yeah, there's kind of a daily aspect to this too. If you, it's really like three or four tools in one. There's a Bible study, and there's a chapter, and then there's like a daily reading that kind of enhances that chapter. So yeah, it's a full work.
That's the thing I like about that is it's all in one book instead of a user needing to buy two or three things in order to survive. It's all right there.
Yeah.
In one.
Yeah. What we're hoping is that people can take this and over 6 or 7 weeks, people can take this and they can just really grow in their understanding of how it is that they find their voice and articulate their faith in Christ. We speak into this conversation. So hopefully it's helpful.
And you were able to arrange with your publisher, InterVarsity, to get it ready in time for the convention, I presume. I'm sure you're going to have it ready by the NACC. It'll be there in stacks at the convention, I imagine.
Yeah, actually, Mark, what we've tried to go ahead. Okay, one of the things we're doing is that we are going to provide a free copy of the book for every registration. So it's kind of Eastview's gift. Yeah, it's Eastview's gift to the convention, and we just want everybody to have at least one copy of it. Obviously, InterVarsity Press will be there, and you can buy more copies, and you can order stuff for your congregation if it's something that appeals to you. But I've just always been a guy that I don't like commercials, either in the TV world or in the stage during convention world. So I've tried to eliminate as much hawking and selling of products as I can. And I just want it to be there. It's available. I think it's good. I think God can use it. But I'm not going to stand up on the stage every night and say, hey, buy this book. So I'll leave that to publishers and stuff like that. They can promote it. But for me, we just want to say, hey, here's a gift. We think it's a good resource. If you find it useful, it's available. And prayerfully, I mean, we're supposed to get it. It's supposed to be done by June 1st, and that gives us hopefully 22 days to figure it out or have a leeway there. But hopefully it'll hit the shelves by June 1st, and we'll have one for everybody at the North American.
Well, that's a great – the whole thing is just a really great enterprise, and I'm so proud of you for working it out and And I didn't do the study to compare the chapters of the book with the sermons at the convention. Is it a whole new set of themes, or is it one for one?
There are exact same themes. There are two more sermons at the convention. There's seven teaching chapters, but there'll be nine sermons at the convention. So not every one of the themes will be covered, but. I'm sorry, I take that back. All the themes will be covered in preaching at the convention with a couple of extras. And so one of the things we worked out with our publisher is that we'll make those available online. So if you want to do a preaching series along with the book and the small group studies, you can do that. The other thing is we'll make that available when we preach our sermon series in the fall. We'll make that available online for people to access that as well. So hopefully it's, you get preaching, you get sermons, you get some writing, but primarily the chapters that I've written will be kind of the sermons that are spoken. So.
Cool. That's very cool.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Number one, there's your version of that sermon, and there's the preacher at the convention's version of it. So it'll be two different flavors for sure. And secondly, most of us have heard a sermon that we need to hear a second time, so that's
never hurts, does it?
That's going to be good too.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the convention itself a little bit more. First of all, you've already talked about how thrilled you are with our movement and what you see in our churches, and I know you're traveling around, visiting, and colleges, and promoting the convention, and so forth. I don't know how much. Maybe a lot of that's yet to come. I'm just wondering if there's any answer from you to this idea, and that is, what are you seeing in our churches in this role as president that it seems new to you? You know, what are you discovering about our churches because you're serving as president of the North American? Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of things I could just off the top of my head certainly answer concerning our movement. I think the restoration movement, a couple of things. There are a lot of really dynamic churches of all sizes that are really doing some really great stuff for the kingdom that often go under the radar. You know, one of the realities of the convention, and it's always been this way. I was talking with John Caldwell, who's past president and former preacher at Kingsway Christian Church in Indianapolis for a long time. And it's always been, Mark, the convention, when I was growing up, the speakers were, you know, Wayne Smith and Cotton Jones and Russ Blowers and guys whose churches were big. They weren't like they are now. You know, they were churches of 600 or 700 people, which was huge back in the 60s and 70s. And they were still kind of the primary speakers there. But the unfortunate thing about this kind of celebrity culture that we live in, both in the church world and the world in general, is that there are a lot of great preachers and a lot of great leaders in churches of 150 and 200 that in their part of the world and in the calling that God's given them are really doing some great stuff for the kingdom. They're just not ever going to get the accolades because people just don't notice or they're not big enough. And so I've had this great privilege of just seeing a ton of really healthy churches, regardless of their size. You know this as well as I do. I was in a church, believe it or not, in Russellvania, Ohio. And no matter where you're at, you can't get there from here, all right? And literally my GPS on my phone wasn't calculating some stuff towards the end. But there's a church, there's a community of about 400 or 500 people and a church of 250 people in this community, which is 50% of the population, and they're just doing some really cool stuff, young families, dynamic young preacher, and I'm just in there going, man, if this is multiplied thousands of times throughout our movement, what a great thing God is still doing. And so I love the fact that, in my estimation, it's not just the churches that have thousands that are healthy. It feels to me like there's a healthy desire for people to do church the way that we understand the Bible, to have church set up in the New Testament. And then the other thing is, you know, I'm a preaching geek, and I love preaching and preachers and all things preachy. But, you know, I really believe that our heritage of preaching continues to permeate the movement, you know, and there's a passion for preaching and there's a passion for opening the word. And I've just met a lot of great dynamic young preachers. One of the things we did with the Next Generation Preaching Search is part of our idea to include a younger generation. And so we did kind of a, you know, the voice type of competition. It's not a competition because you can't really have a competition with preaching, but it was a voice style competition where we had over 130 videos from 18 to 22 year olds within our movement, from our Christian churches and Churches of Christ and non-instrumental Christian church colleges submitted, churches all over the country, 130 sermons. And those were whittled down to 40. They went to some training sessions with some experienced preachers. And then finally, there's four finalists who will actually preach on Wednesday mornings, these young generation preachers. And they're going to be scared to death, but we're going to be blown away by how awesome God has gifted the next generation. And I come away just thinking, man, we've got another generation of preachers who are passionate about it and gifted in it. And so I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged to see that preaching is still going to be something that this movement's going to value for a long time. And God's doing some great stuff in it.
That's very exciting. And you've also got another preaching feature that you might want to mention at the convention. There's going to be a lot of preaching going on besides it on the main stage.
Yeah. You know, again, it goes back to what I said. I've told people this all the time. It's like, The thing that's crazy about a convention is There literally are thousands of great preachers within our movement, but there are 9 preaching slots on the main stage. And so it's impossible to whittle that down and say, who am I going to ask? And who should have this stage to represent what God's doing in this movement? And at the same time, we wanted to provide a place where we want to carry this We Speak theme out as much as possible. We want to give as many people voice as possible. And so we had this crazy idea. The continuation committee actually was submitted. Some guy said, we should do a preaching marathon. You know, Jim Toon, who's up in Canada, he's done some extensive research on the preaching at the North American Christian Convention throughout the years. And one of the things that's different about us and them is that, you know, they used to sit and basically listen to like 9 sermons a day. I mean, they'd get up at 7:30 in the morning, and that convention would be preaching, 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 all the way till about 6 or 7, 8 o'clock at night, and with very few breaks. Well, our audiences don't have the capacity for that as much anymore, shorter attention span, I'm sure. But so we get 2 main sessions with 3 sermons a day. But somebody said, we should have a preaching marathon. Well, essentially, the old North American Christian Conventions were preaching marathons. They just had sermon after sermon. So we've set up a small kind of venue that will have 50 to 100 chairs in it. And it will be a place where if you want to hear preaching, you can go. Many of the finalists from the Next Generation Preaching Church will be there. Some pastors that I just know, some preachers who've said, hey, I've got a message. We're just going to have a series of 20-minute sermons that will just be back to back to back to back. And you can go in there and you can listen to sermons all day long if you want to. So I think that's a unique thing we're doing that I don't think has been done before. So I'm excited about that.
How many sermons will that be in total then in that preaching marathon?
I think, off the top of my head, I'm going to say 48 slots that are available there. So I think we've got them all filled. So it's going to be sizable. And I've jokingly said this, but I'm halfway serious as well. If you're at the convention and you're looking for a bright young youth minister or a new young voice, I mean, imagine you can just go sit in that room and interview 20 people without even paying to fly them in or anything. So, but again, it is a chance for them to express their gift and for us to be blessed by it. And I think that's going to be a win for us.
I think it's wonderful. You know, we go to the convention because there are certain things we always look for, but it's so great to have new features like that also to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Fresh, makes it fun.
Something different, and I really like that. We started by talking about your church, and I want us to think a little bit more about your church. Frankly, I feel like for some fellows, and I may be misreading this from afar, for some fellows, being president of the North American Christian Convention was really hard on their church. And you don't need to comment on that if you don't want to. I have a hunch that's not true for Eastview because of the way you're leading. But I'm wondering what, and maybe it's too soon for you to answer this because the convention hasn't happened yet. The question I had jotted down was, what about this experience of convention leadership will change Eastview Christian Church after the NACC? And like I say, maybe it's too early to have a good answer to that question. I don't know.
No, I think, honestly, Mark, I can answer both of those questions, actually. I mean, the first one is, does it cost Eastview Christian Church something? It absolutely does. That's why, before I did anything else, I went to my leaders, my elders, and I said, hey, guys, this is like a chance-in-a-lifetime leadership possibility. I'd love to do it, but I want you guys to know it's gonna cost us. And, again, this is behind-the-scenes stuff. It costs the church financially to have their pastor be the president of the thing because there's just not enough money to cover all the expenses. So it will be a cost financially. It's a cost for their preacher. And, I will tell you, I'm excited. I'm more energized by the convention, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but I am physically tired. And eventually, the church pays for that. My staff is paid a little bit because I've been traveling so much and gone during the week. And so, there is a cost, but I think it's minimal in terms of what we can do. And I've just been telling my church all the time, it's like, this is a chance for us to celebrate with our heritage and to share a little bit about what God's doing at Eastview Christian Church because, The senior pastor of the church and the president of the North American will put their mark and their flavor a little bit on the convention. And so it's our chance just to go, hey, here's what God's doing at Eastview. We won't take any credit for it, but God's doing some cool stuff. I think the benefit for our people is twofold, Mark. Number one, I think it often, and this is true no matter how big the church or who the senior pastor is, often churches will take for granted their what they have, you know, what their church is and what God's doing there. You know, all of our church experiences, as we experience them, are our normal, right? That's what normal is for
right.
our church. And so when you get to go and gather with thousands of others from hundreds of other churches, then you get a chance to go, oh, man, there's a lot of cool stuff going on, but I'm proud of my church, and I like what God's doing here. And so I think it's a chance for the people of Eastview to feel good that that God's doing some cool stuff that other people in the nation may be interested in. And I think, again, I have to be apologetic here a little bit and tell you that I probably haven't been as good as keeping them in the know in terms of our heritage very much. You know, there's so many things that come up in the leadership of a church that sometimes your restoration history and heritage falls to the back because you don't have time to push it as much or to train it as much. And so this has been good for them to go, you know, we have several people from different denominational backgrounds that before I became the senior, the president, they didn't know what the North American Christian Convention really was. And
right.
It's afforded us a chance to find our place in the heritage a little bit better, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's quite significant.
Well, yeah, I think it's a huge win for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guessing you're going to bring some busloads of folks over from Illinois to the North America.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of bus packages. Almost our whole staff is coming over, and we're actually closing the offices for 2 days during that week, and all the elders and what. So I think it will be several hundred from Eastview that'll come over there. At least for a couple of days. So,
yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific.
It's gonna be fun.
Well, yeah, let's talk a little bit about before we close up here. Let's talk a little bit about where people can go to get more information, or what should people be deciding now about this year's convention? They need to decide to attend. Go ahead.
With the whole, what I've tried to do, Mark, is I've tried to couch this in terms of the theme we speak. And and so the first and foremost, the best way that you, as I've traveled around and what I've told, you know, I've spoken to over 450 preachers and church leaders, and I've spoken in most of our Bible colleges, and I've had a chance to say, listen, your first voice, your first place of speaking is within your own heritage and within your own movement, and you speak loudest by showing up. And and since we're not a denomination, you can't be voted in or out of it. And simply by showing up lends your voice to the whole thing. So I've just tried to say, you know what, if you don't show up this year, if you don't come to the North American Christian Convention, a friend you went to college with, a former work associate, a new young person in ministry that needs encouragement, they're not going to get the advantage of coffee with you or a conversation in the hall with you or a prayer with you. And they're going to be less, we're going to be less for you not coming. If you don't bring your voice, you may not get on the main stage. You may not teach a workshop, but all of us give voice to this convention because we're speaking and encouraging and helping one another in this whole thing. So that, my biggest encouragement has just been come, be a part of it. And then I've said, you know what, try to get your congregation involved. And, you know, one of the things we're doing coming up here in a few weeks that I've encouraged other churches to do, and I would encourage our listeners to do, have a North American Christian Convention Sunday and just promote it, give them some access. We, you know, the North American office, you can find them at gotonacc.com, I think, or maybe it's a .org, I'm not sure, but you can find them online, North American Christian Convention. Ask them to send you. They'll send you brochures and pamphlets and posters, all kinds of things. Have a Sunday. What we're doing at Eastview, after our offering is taken up on a Sunday in June, we're just going to have an offering that says, hey, whatever's in your pockets and your pocketbooks, billfolds, just dump something in the offering plate after this is all said and done, and we'll just do some spare change for the North American. And so it's not going to take away from the giving at the church, hopefully, and I know a lot of preachers are concerned about that. And it will be a chance then just to go, hey, you know what? We've given something North American. We've connected our people. Even if they can't go, it just gives them tied in with their history a little bit, you know. And so, and then my other thing, Mark, and this is, I'm sorry I'm rambling, but this is a big deal to me.
No, this is good.
That we have to encourage a younger generation to come. And that begins, I think, with, I think it begins with older people in the movement going, hey, let me help you make this a priority. And so I've been telling lots of senior pastors, hey, you know what? I know your youth pastors are this really swamped in the summertime, and I get it. And some of it's impossible. If you've got a CIY to go to, or they're on a missions trip, or they're going to camp, they may not be able to make the June 23rd through 26th. But I've tried to encourage as many as possible. On June 23rd, we've got a pre-event. It actually starts the morning of the 23rd and goes through the main session at night. That's just basically for under 40s. And I've tried to have preachers go, listen, encourage your youth ministers just to come for one day. And if you can, make it so that's not cost prohibitive for them. Get them a hotel room. They're relatively inexpensive. You can get on the website and find that stuff. And let them experience the North American, because this is going to be where 20 years from now they're going to find their voice and their ability to express and to be in leadership. You know, that's what I've been telling the young guys on my staff. It's like, listen, you guys might be the next Andy Stanley, and it won't matter what denomination you're aligned with, but most of us won't. So if that being the case, then embrace the heritage you're from, and 20 years from now, you'll be one of the voices in that movement. And that's the place that you belong. That's the place you come from. And so I've been trying to encourage that in the younger generation as well. And those are pretty much the things that I would tell people. We could always use more cash. And so if you're there with a church and you've not given to the North American for many years, seriously, it would mean more to me if you sent just a $50 gift, but you've not given in 10 years. I'm more excited about that than the same churches that send 1,000 or 2,000 every year, because I just want to get more people involved. Yeah, so.
Well, very, very cool. I'm excited about the convention. I always love the convention because of all the people that we see there. But the spin
right.
that you've put on it for this year is very, very motivating, and I really appreciate your viewpoint on it all and what you've put together. I think you've told us everything you need to tell us. Was there anything more before we sign off here for folks to know about the convention? What's your elevator speech? They always talk to us in marketing about what's your elevator speech, your 30-second speech about the NACC. I think you've given it more than once here already.
Yeah, it's 12 weeks away, Mark, and we've prayed about it and we've planned for it. I really think it's going to be a very special spiritual occasion that will encourage people from all walks of life to speak. And if we can, you know, in this world that is so desperate in need of a good message, we have it. And so if we can encourage one another to speak into the cultural dialogue, we'll be better for it. And God will use it in a powerful way. So that's what it's going to be, a rah-rah rally for. Let's find our voice and let's speak into this culture. So I think it's going to be great. I think thousands are going to be there, and I can't wait to see everybody there. Looking forward to it.
Well, we can't wait to see you there either, and to hear that opening speech. Before we leave today, I want to remind listeners of a couple of things. First of all, Mike has written about the NACC at ChristianStandard.com, and if you just go to ChristianStandard.com and search for North American Christian Convention, you'll find a wealth of information there. But even better, you can download the free Christian Standard app, App Store or Google Play for your Android phone or for Amazon apps for the Kindle Fire, and download that February issue, and all of the information about the NACC that we have published is all together there in one compact package, and that would be a great way for you to get some information. The app is free. Each issue is inexpensive, and a whole year of Christian Standard for your device is at a price that that everybody can afford. So we're excited about the response we're getting to those digital editions, and we think that you might enjoy it too. It's a much more interactive experience than just leafing through a magazine. There's links and opportunities to connect with other people and share information. So we encourage you to download that app and play with it a little bit. The April issue of Christian Standard, full of encouragement for anyone who has experienced suffering or pain in their lives, is available on the app now. And the May issue will be there by mid-April. Now, speaking of April, I want to tell you that two writers in the April issue of Christian Standard will be featured in next month's Beyond the Standard. In the April issue, Steve Wyatt shares his testimony of rediscovering hope after his first wife left him and his second wife died tragically of cancer. And in the same issue, Joe Harvey looks at the book of Job to find a theology of suffering and tells about his music major daughter, a singer with a beautiful voice. In our next episode, he'll tell us more about what happened when she lost her hearing after her first year of college. It's really quite a story. These two testimonies will encourage everyone in your church who has coped with loss. So mark your calendar. It's a different time next month. It's going to be Thursday afternoon instead of Thursday morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time, April 30th, to hear Steve Wyatt and Joe Harvey talk to us about how to cope with suffering and pain when it enters our life. Well, we want to thank Mike Baker again for taking time to talk with us today. And we want to thank you listeners, too. Please keep reading Christian Standard and meet us again here next month. Until then, goodbye.